Welcome to this lecture on stress. Stress occurs when the challenges of life exceed our ability to cope with them. Stress is something that we all experience to greater and lesser degrees at various times in our life. It's a pretty universal experience. A survey by the APS, the Australian Psychological Society, found that 35% of Australians reported having significant distress in their lives, with 14% reporting mild distress, 8% reporting moderate distress, and 13% reporting experiencing severe levels of distress. In the same study, the top five causes of stress included 1, personal finances, 2, family issues, 3, personal health, 4, trying to maintain a healthy lifestyle, and 5, issues with the health of others close to us. Interestingly, the barriers to maintaining a healthy lifestyle, which, you know, I believe is relevant in the context of yoga, included unexpected life events, loss of motivation, expense, and lack of time. Stress is not listed in the DSM-5 as a mental illness. However, it significantly affects our mental health and is likely to be commonly experienced by many of your yoga students. My personal and clinical experience shows that managing stress promotes mental health and wellness and is important in recovering from mental illness. In addition, mental illness can be stressful both for the individual experiencing it and for their loved ones. Let's look at the psychological, the physical, and the behavioral aspects of stress. The psychological symptoms may include feeling overwhelmed, worry, fear, anger, tearfulness, irritability, anxiety, helplessness, or memory problems. The physical symptoms often include heart palpitations, fatigue, stomach upset, diarrhea, headaches, muscular aches and pains, weakened immune system, or high blood pressure. And the behavioral symptoms sometimes include difficulty concentrating, fatigue, lacking motivation, sleep disturbance, insomnia, social withdrawal, unhealthy eating habits, or short temper. So a stressor is anything that affects one's well-being or survival. And stress is a natural human response to a stressor designed to bring us back to homeostasis. Homeostasis is the way in which the body maintains its eternal equilibrium for well-being and survival. The dictionary has several definitions of stress, including pressure or tension exerted on a material object, a state of mental or emotional strain or tension resulting from adverse or demanding circumstances, and physiological disturbance or damage caused to an organism by adverse circumstances. A stressor can be an external threat, for example, a bomb going off or losing your job, or it can be internal, like feeling time pressured or worried about the way that you're perceived by your colleagues. Stress can be acute or it can be chronic. Mild acute stress, like starting a new job or giving a presentation, can lead to developing an adaptive response to meeting life's challenges. But severe stress, like being exposed to a violent and life-threatening crime, can lead to post-traumatic stress disorder or other mental health challenges. Chronic stress, on the other hand, is stress that continues over an extended period of time, such as chronic health issues, relationship difficulties, financial problems, bullying, social isolation, or living in an unsafe environment. This can also result in developing depression and anxiety. In their book, The Science of Stress, the neuropsychiatrist authors describe 3 typical responses to stress. Firstly, on the left there, the stressor and the individual's ability to respond may be well matched, and the response results in a return to homeostasis. This is likely to be a less severe or threatening stressor. Secondly, in the middle there, The stressor may be excessive or continual and be greater than the individual's capacity to respond. This results in vulnerability as a result of stress. This is likely to be more severe or an ongoing stressor. And then lastly, over there on the right, while the stressor may be excessive or ongoing, there is a good match between the stressor and the individual's capacity to respond, leading to post-traumatic growth or anti-fragility. This is not always discussed in relation to stress and trauma, but it's an important and powerful catalyst for growth and developing inner strength and wisdom. So let's watch this TED Ed video now that explains really nicely the effect that stress has on the brain.
Are you sleeping restlessly, feeling irritable or moody, forgetting little things, and feeling overwhelmed and isolated? Don't worry, we've all been there. You're probably just stressed out. Stress isn't always a bad thing. It can be handy for a burst of extra energy and focus, like when you're playing a competitive sport or have to speak in public. But when it's continuous, the kind most of us face day in and day out, it actually begins to change your brain. Chronic stress, like being overworked or having arguments at home, can affect brain size, its structure, and how it functions, right down to the level of your genes. Stress begins with something called the hypothalamus-pituitary-adrenal axis, a series of interactions between endocrine glands in the brain and on the kidney, which controls your body's reaction to stress. When your brain detects a stressful situation, your HPA axis is instantly activated and releases a hormone called cortisol, which primes your body for instant action. But high levels of cortisol over long periods of time wreak havoc on your brain. For example, chronic stress increases the activity level and number of neural connections in the amygdala, your brain's fear center. And as levels of cortisol rise, electric signals in your hippocampus, the part of the brain associated with learning, memories, and stress control, deteriorate. The hippocampus also inhibits the activity of the HPA axis, so when it weakens, so does your ability to control your stress. That's not all, though. Cortisol can literally cause your brain to shrink in size. Too much of it results in the loss of synaptic connections between neurons and the shrinking of your prefrontal cortex, the part of your brain that regulates behaviors like concentration, decision-making, judgment, and social interaction. It also leads to fewer new brain cells being made in the hippocampus. This means chronic stress might make it harder for you to learn and remember things, and also set the stage for more serious mental problems like depression and eventually Alzheimer's disease. The effects of stress may filter right down to your brain's DNA. An experiment showed that the amount of nurturing a mother rat provides its newborn baby plays a part in determining how that baby responds to stress later in life. The pups of nurturing moms turned out less sensitive to stress because their brains developed more cortisol receptors, which stick to cortisol and dampen the stress response. The pups of negligent moms had the opposite outcome, and so became more sensitive to stress throughout life. These are considered epigenetic changes, meaning that they affect which genes are expressed without directly changing the genetic code. And these changes can be reversed if the moms are swapped. But there's a surprising result. The epigenetic changes caused by one single mother rat were passed down to many generations of rats after her. In other words, the results of these actions were inheritable. It's not all bad news, though. There are many ways to reverse what cortisol does to your stressed brain. The most powerful weapons are exercise and meditation, which involves breathing deeply and being aware and focused on your surroundings. Both of these activities decrease your stress and increase the size of the hippocampus, thereby improving your memory. So don't feel defeated by the pressures of daily life. Get in control of your stress before it takes control of you.
So as a yoga teacher, it's outside your scope of practice to diagnose stress. However, a student may tell you that they're stressed, or they might exhibit some of the following indicators of stress. These might include symptoms of depression, anxiety, or trauma, crying, frequent illness, difficulty concentrating, feeling exhausted, feeling overwhelmed, not interacting with other students in the class, giving up easily in challenging poses, feeling disheartened and hopeless if they don't get the poses right, not following your instructions or easily confused, running late, they might stop coming to class, they may be irritable, have tension in their face and body, difficulty relaxing, and nervous behaviors like biting nails, pacing, and fidgeting. Note that presenting with just one or two of these indicators does not mean that your student is necessarily stressed, nor if they don't exhibit any of these that they aren't feeling stressed. This list is just intended to give you an idea of how stress might show up in your yoga classes. Thanks again. This is a wrap-up for our video on stress. I look forward to seeing you over in the next one.